right, here we go. My name is Jeff Kay, and this is the West Virginia Surf Report Podcast. Man, what a weekend this has been. I think this is the way normal people live, but we're not used to it. We're not used to normalcy. This is throwing me for a loop. You know, I took Friday off with the intention of tackling the Surf Report bunker for once and for all. Once and for all. Not for once and for all, but once and for all. And I bought a new desk. I bought a new refrigerator. I threw the old Nancy fridge. This is something that she used back in college. And somehow I ended up with it, and I used it for many years. And then the thing doesn't work anymore. So I threw that thing in the trash and got a new one, ordered it from, just fired up. Did you hear it, the new one? I don't know if you can hear it on here, but it's not exactly silent. But whatever. You know, I ordered it from our buddies over at Walmart.com. You know, they're giving Amazon a run for the money. So, you know, they're doing that 2-day shipping just like Amazon does, and their prices are good. So, it's always an option. I don't really think about going to Walmart.com. It's not something I'm hardwired for Amazon, but Walmart's an option. Don't forget about Walmart. They do a pretty good job. Felt like I ordered the desk and I ordered the refrigerator. And a few hours later, it arrived at our front porch. So that's crazy. So anyway, so I had that. I felt like Friday I could just come in here, just do some intense work, get the desk set up, get the old one out of here. That's the part. Yeah, that's the hard part. Got to take the computer off. Got to break all that shit down. Get the old desk out of here, which is, you know, it's a huge thing. It's got a hutch, you know. You know what I'm saying? It's like overhead shelving and all this stuff. Things from 1995. We had it in Atlanta. We had it in California, and we had it here. So I think it was moved in here the day that we moved into this house in April 2000. And it's never been moved. So yeah. So it was hard to get out of here. And, my goal was to get the thing knocked out. It's now several days later, the desk is set up, the refrigerator's in place, it's working, you know, the old Nancy refrigerator is in the, dumpster, which I'll get to in a minute, and, we're good. Everything's been dusted. I mean, the thing was a mess, you know, it felt like, I was going to get black lung, you know, in here. I mean, I had a flashlight. If you turn on a flashlight in here while I was moving stuff around and cleaning, you know, just shine a beam of light across the room, you could just see just like dust just in motion, you know what I mean? And so it was a mouse sneezing and hawking, you know. So I worked on that all day Friday. I didn't get it done. And several days have passed since then. And it's Sunday night as I record this. It's not done, you know. The important stuff's done. The hard stuff's done. But there's still some stuff that needs to be found. I need to find a home for it. So I'm not real happy with that. However, there were complications. Hang on a second. Let me take a hit off this Bell's Too Hearted. Man, that's good stuff. Possibly the best beer in the world. I don't want to get controversial right out of the gate, but the Bell's Too Hearted Ale, Bell's Brewing Company, Kalamazoo, Michigan. Yeah, that's the good stuff, you know. I had this stuff when we were in Cleveland called Deschutes or something. I don't remember what it was called. It was Deschutes Brewing Company. I don't know. I'm not familiar. They're in Oregon. Never seen this stuff before. But it was giving the Bell's Too Hearted a run for the money. That stuff was fantastic. checked it out. Needless to say, it's not available in Pennsylvania. So, anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, I cleaned this place up, and we're probably about 90% done, you know. But Tony threw a monkey wrench into the work. She told me the other day, on Friday, as a matter of fact, she goes, by the way, ordered a dumpster. I said, what? Excuse, pardon? You know? She goes, I ordered a dumpster. It's going to be here tomorrow. I said, a dumpster? What the hell? She goes, yeah, we're going to clean out the garage. I said, all right. So this doesn't get run past me anymore? So how much does this cost? She's like, $300 or I don't know. I can't remember if she said $250 or $300. I said, are you serious? What the hell? You know? I said, you got to run these things. We got to talk about these things. She goes, we've been talking for years. The ball's not getting moved down the field. I said, all right. Well, in the future, let's discuss it, you know. So that thing was delivered on Saturday around noon. And that became like the focus of the weekend. You know, it got hijacked, you know. That whole project, that's what, the bunker project was hijacked by this dumpster, which the guy kept calling a can, which I find highly, I don't know, I have a problem with that, you know. He goes, yeah, I've started out with 4 cans, and it's gone pretty well for me, so now I'm up to 12 cans. Cans. What a jackass. Nah, I don't know. Guy seemed like he's a good guy. You know, he's out there making a buck, man. He's making it happen. He is the American dream. So anyway, he dropped this thing in the middle of our driveway. And, it became the focus of the weekend. So we emptied 99% of what was in the garage into that dumpster. Thing was huge, or it is huge. It's still out there. Swing that thing open. It's got a door on one end of it. You can walk up in that thing. It's huge. It's literally the size. It's almost literally the same size as the inside of our garage, which is a one-car garage, by the way. Thing was built in 1966. And it's got a one-car garage. Anyway, so we basically just moved everything from the garage into that dumpster, and then we started adding stuff from the basement in there. So that became the focus. See, I got hijacked, you know. So that happened. And also, I don't want to repeat the entire Patreon podcast that I recorded just yesterday. So I'm way behind. I'm trying to get back on track. I don't want to repeat that entire thing, but we also had a guy come out here on Saturday, gave us a price on some rather extensive, landscaping project. We have this wish list of things that we want done, including there's a wall that's collapsed. Not a wall in our house. Give me a break. I mean, one of the walls, the living room wall, hasn't collapsed. I'm talking about like a stone wall, you know. That thing's like fell down, you know. And there's like, I don't know, there's problems. We got some issues. And there's some cleanup that needs to be done. He gave us a price. And when he said the price, I was thinking, well, that's a 100% non-starter. We're not paying. There's absolutely no way. There's, you know, that's... It's way beyond. I mean, we're not, what am I, like Ted Turner, you know? And Tony's like, yeah, I think we could do that. I was like, what? I was looking at her like, what goes on, you know? She's usually the voice of reason, and I'm the one like, yeah, let's do it. Swing for the fences, you know? And she's the one, nah, we can't do that. Now she's like, yeah, I think we could do that. And I was like, I don't know. And so the guy's standing there, and there's like this thing going on between me and my wife. And I'm like, well, whatever. Well, if you think that's a good idea, let's do it, you know. I mean, I want it done, but the price was made me gasp, you know. Seems a little high to me, but I mean, we asked for a lot, you know, there's a lot involved. It's I wouldn't, well, tell you, I personally wouldn't do it for that price. For one thing, I don't know if I could, I don't know if I know how to do a lot of it. And it would just be, it would be terrible, you know. What we asked him to do is terrible. I mean, it's not immoral. It's just stuff that you wouldn't, I mean, ugh, you know. So, anyway, I guess that's happening, too. I don't know. I don't know. Where are we getting all this money? I don't know. We don't know. I don't know. So, anyway, yeah, it's been a hell of a weekend, you know. So, now we're at Sunday night. I'm having the Bell's Too Hearted, getting ready to have taco salad for dinner. And you're up to date on that thing. So there you go. Also, yeah, this is a repeat of the Patreon show. Friday night, we had the new Deadwood movie. And I started counting them, you know, counting the fucks, you know. And the thing was, it was difficult, you know. I had a hard time getting back into the rhythm of it. And, but it took me like 10 minutes to get the numbers crunched and up on the website. But I got it. It's up there. It took me like, I think the thing was over at like, it was 106 minutes is how long the movie lasted. And I think I had it up there within 10 minutes. So, you know, I used to do it within 3, but, you know, if I was out of practice. I know I said I was going to maybe do a test run through one of the old episodes. That never happened. I was doing it. I mean, I was recreating the website like minutes before the movie came on. So basically, the old website, the old the number of fucks in Deadwood webpage, that thing's on that old Microsoft front page. That's obsolete. So I recreated a new page that kind of mirrored the old page in WordPress. And then I redirected the old URL to the new URL, which is the wvsr.com/Deadwood. And I, so all that's there. It looks pretty good. And the numbers are there. It was a little disappointing in the F count, the FPMs, much lower than in the TV show. The movie was clicking in about 50% of what the normal TV show was clicking in at. So, you know, it was a little bit different. The movie was great. I don't have anything negative to say about the movie. All the characters were back. It's been like 12 years, I think, since the TV show went off. It was well done. The FPMs, way down, you know. You can see all the numbers. Check it out, the WVSR.com/Deadwood. You get the FPMs, you get the total number, you get the ratio of fucks to cocksuckers. It's all there, all the important data, just like we used to do it 12 years ago. You know, back when I was, you know, the thing caused this giant uproar, and I was interviewed by the Los Angeles Times, and I was being discussed on the Howard Stern show by Rush Limbaugh and others. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal this time. But anyway, I wanted to, you know, it's my duty as a journalist to keep the data up to date. So, you know, I did also years ago, I did this analysis. This took like days. I did a lot of research on this. It was how many people from number of people who appeared on stage what is it called? Woodstock. God. The number of people at the Woodstock Festival in 1969, how many of them are dead? That's how that I did this big analysis. And I promised that I was going to keep it up to date. That thing sits there at exactly the way it was the day. And I get emails all the time. Oh, by the way, you need to update your website. You know, the tambourine player in, you know, some obscure band has, you know, dropped dead the other day. So, you know, I don't know. I used to undertake these projects, and I wouldn't see them through. But Deadwood, I felt an obligation. So there you go. It's up to date. Check it out. I want to play you a message that was left at the world famous. It's not world famous. At the spectacular. There you go. That's more accurate. The spectacular Surf Report podcast hotline. And here you go.
Hey, Mr. Surf Report. This is Brad calling. I just want to let you know that as of Thursday afternoon, I'm not dead. Not yet, at least. So no need to have to bring out your dead guy. Talk to you soon.
All right. That's a little, I don't know, a little concerning. Actually, that's my good friend Brad that I've known for many, many, many years. He's been in the hospital, so I hope he's getting better. Hope you're getting better, Bradley. He's not in the hospital anymore. I checked in with him. Told me, you know, I appreciate you letting me know that you're not dead yet. So thank you very much. Your voice seemed kind of like whispery. I don't know. I hope you're all right. Get better. I wanted to tell the story about meeting Brad back in the olden times. I know him from Peaches. Hang on a second. My voice is getting raspy. Yeah. All right. So I met him at Peaches. All right. So I told that whole story about how I moved down there. I went down there with those hardened rednecks that I was working with at a convenience store in Dunbar, West Virginia. I don't think any of them were from Dunbar. I was. The rest of them were from, I don't know, other towns around there. They were all rednecks. One of them was a little, you know, he was all right. The other two concerned me greatly, you know. And I told you a story about how we went down there. We were in Greensboro. We were down there looking for work, you know, the four of us. And we're in this Roy Rogers restaurant. And everybody, they were all drunk, high, I don't know. Who the hell knows? These guys were wild. These were wild men, you know. So we're sitting there in this restaurant. These guys are raising a ruckus, being real loud and obnoxious, drunk. And so this guy who's the manager comes over there. I guess he's the manager, assistant manager or whatever. Seemed like he's like 19 years old, wearing a cowboy hat, bolo tie, the whole get up. And he comes over there and he goes, could you guys maybe like hold it down a little bit, you know, kind of a little loud, you know. And so one of those guys, one of those rednecks I was with, goes, hey guys, check it out, it's Roy Rogers. I didn't know Roy was a faggot. And that guy's like, all right, that's it. And he went over there and picked up the phone and called the cops. So we hightailed it out of there. These guys are rednecks. These are the guys. They wanted us to live. The idea was we were going to go down there, and everybody's going to find a new job, and we're all going to move in together, like four of us. I was like, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't want to hitch my wagon to these hicks, you know. We're going to end up, like, we're going to sign a lease, and these guys are going to, you know, skedaddle, as they say. We're going to be stuck with it, me and the other halfway normal guy. And so we, you know, you can't trust these guys to ever follow through on anything. I didn't know them that well, but I knew enough, you know. So I said, I pulled the other guy, the normal guy, aside, and I said, let's split off and, you know, get our own apartment. Those dumbasses, you know, they can go do whatever they want. So he was on board, and that's what we did. And those guys lasted 3 months, went back to West Virginia, which indicates to me that my concerns were right there, right on the money. So anyway, so we moved down there. On that first trip, when we first moved in there, I went to this record store, Peaches Records and Tapes. It was gigantic. It was like a Tower Records, you know. I mean, I'd been in a Tower Records before, and I loved it, of course. I mean, how could you not? I mean, I was like obsessed with music. This Peaches store reminded me of a Tower. It's huge. It's one of those record stores where, you know, they carry everything, you know, pretty much everything that's in print, they have it there. And they had like all these imports. Oh man, it was like unbelievable. It's like an emporium of great music. And I thought, you know, if I move down here, I'm gonna end up working there. That's my goal, you know. Maybe not from the beginning. I think I talked to the guy, the store director. His name's Jeff Smith. I didn't know that then. He wouldn't give me the time of day. He said, "Nah, I don't have anything," you know. So, but I thought, well, that's what you say now. But Mister, I'm gonna be working there, you know. So that's the plan. Me and this guy, his name was Gary. Unfortunately, he's passed away now. He's a great guy. I don't know what happened to the other two. Probably, I don't know where they're incarcerated. I'm not clear. I didn't keep up with them. But they're gone. They're out of the picture quickly. Gary and I got an apartment together. And we got jobs at this grocery store, Food Lion. I hated every minute of it. Sucked it. It was like the worst job ever in the history of America. And so then I was like always trying to get in at Peaches, you know, Peaches Records. I was hanging out in there all the time. And the guy's like, "Nah, we don't have anything open." I'm like, damn it, you know, the hell, what's this going to take? I was like suffering at that stupid grocery store. That thing was horrible. So I was sitting at home one night, desperation. I was thinking, what could I do? And I thought, well, maybe I could just continue working at the grocery store and offer to work part-time. You know, I was thinking, you know, it's just a bunch of young people working there. I can probably, if I offer to work like Saturdays and Sundays, which were supposed to be my days off, you know, maybe I could, maybe he'd hire me because, you know, nobody wants to work Saturday and Sunday. So maybe I could get in that way. So I went over there and talked to him again. Guy's like, I come in and he's like, "You again? Man, you're persistent, you know?" So I talked to Jeff Smith, and I said, "Hey, how about just hiring me for Saturday and Sunday?" He goes, "That I can do." So I was super excited. And I started working there, and it was, I was working at the grocery store too, so I was like walking around like a zombie all the time. Felt like when I was in there, I was having like some kind of out-of-body experience. But the thing about it was, you know, I that was my goal when I moved to Greensboro. I wanted to work in that work. Wanted to work at Peaches, and I was excited when I got the job. I was like, yeah, you know, super excited. I went in there, and the other employees, for the most part, were either A, indifferent. You know, and they weren't interested in talking to me, you know, they didn't really give a shit, or B, semi-hostile, you know, so, I don't know, the people that worked there weren't very nice, and I was like, what, this is my dream job, this is what I want to do, why are these people being such dicks, you know, there was like cliques, there was this old guard, you know, all these people that had been working there for many years. They hung out together outside the store. They didn't have any interest. We were closed out. Any new person that came in, there was a wall, man, between the new people and the veterans. There was an impenetrable wall, and they weren't very nice, you know. In fact, there were a couple people who were, you know, not only indifferent, but actually hostile, you know. So I was like, this is not the way I had it, you know, planned in my head. So so I remember I was like, you know, plus I was tired all the time from working at that stupid Food Lion. And so I was like, this isn't the way I had it planned in my head. So one day, I remember it was a Sunday, where I was in there before the store opened, and there was this guy who was one of the worst. He was a dick, you know? The guy was, like, mean, you know? He wasn't nice to me at all. You know, he was the worst of all of them. He was the worst. And Brad was there. And Brad, I don't know, I think he was, at that point, he was kind of the indifferent. He wasn't mean to me, but he certainly wasn't going out of his way, you know? To welcome me with open arms. And so we're standing there by the front, by the cash registers up front, and this place is massive. It's like a cavernous record store. And they're doing this thing. The guy, the asshole, he's like, all right, we're going to figure out how we're going to do this. You know, I don't remember the details, but it was like he was saying if any, I don't know, certain types of women, like blondes, if any blondes, you know, any tall blondes come in, I get to wait on them, you know, something along those lines. They were like divvying up how the customers, the female customers, were going to be helped, who had the rights to help what type, you know, which I was wildly immature, but even at that point, I was like, whatever. So these guys, and then Brad was like, I don't know, he was going along with it, but he's not into it either. He just half-heartedly said, all right, well, I'll take the brunettes or whatever. You know, he was half. So this dick was driving the whole thing. So then Brad said, Jeff, you want in on this? And I remember this is where things kind of took a turn. I said, yeah, I guess, you know, put me down for, you know, I'll help all the lesbian dwarves that comes through the front door. And Brad, like, buckled over in laughter, you know. And the other guy was looking at me like, what the? Who is this douche, you know? Brad thought that was funny. So then Brad and I started talking. And, you know, we have similar interests. He knows all about music. And we're interested in the same stuff, you know. We became friends. We started hanging out. And the thing about it is, it didn't take long, maybe like, I don't know, 2 months after I started working there. That entire old guard, they're all gone. It seems like they all left at the same time. I don't know. There's like some kind of like a half-life in retail. And you can last maybe like 4 years. You know, I think these people are all hitting the 4-year mark. They all moved on. So suddenly, me and Brad, Eugene, Cambo, you know, Adrian, Jeff Rainey, you know, we became the old guard, and we were the ones giving the newbies the cold shoulder. Oh, yeah, we moved right in. So, and then it became, we did a 3-year run where it was like the best job in the world. At least that's the way I looked at it. Loved it. Loved every minute. Brad and I don't know what year that was, mid-80s, early, you know, mid-80s, probably 85, somewhere in that neighborhood. And we're friends to this day. Guy's great. He and I are good friends. So I hope you're feeling better, Bradley. You sounded a little whispery in that message. So hope you're feeling better. I know you are, because I talked to you already. So anyway, we're at the end of this thing, getting very near the end. If you want to check out the Deadwood count, check it out at the WVSR.com/Deadwood. Also, if you want to call in and leave a message like Brad did, the number is 570-290-8151. Do it. Unless you're just shouting profanity. I don't know. I might use that. Who knows? You know, leave a message. There's a very good chance that I'll feature it in a new, in an upcoming episode. And also, if you want to hear 2 of these episodes a week, and I can't even imagine. It's beyond, I have a pretty good imagination. I can't even imagine why you would not. You know, it's easy. Head on over to patreon.com/JeffK. That's patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more monthly donation, and you'll gain access to the Thursday show. And the Thursday show doesn't always come out on Thursday, but it comes out every week. You know, that I can promise you. So there you go. Head on over to patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a monthly donation of $4 or more, and you'll double down on the Surf Report podcast. Hope you enjoyed this thing. I will be back on Thursday over at Patreon. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you have a great, great week. See ya. Bye.
As of Thursday afternoon, I'm not dead. Not yet, at least.